I will try and not take too long. I've been reading, and if you're reading along with the plan, if you're on the plan, you've been in Isaiah with us, and the more I tried to study and nail something down, last week it come like clockwork. It was rather easy, but today ain't been so easy. I know y'all hadn't never dealt with that before, but I have, and so I don't have anything marked, and I was just standing here praying, asking the Lord what you want me to say, because I got a bunch of people sitting in front of me. In Isaiah 45, we'll start reading there in verse number 1. And we'll let the Lord help us. Amen. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gate, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." We'll stop reading right there. Father, please bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, I was listening. I don't remember which day it was, but I know that this part in verse number 5 jumped out at me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I think sometimes I get to a point where I look for more substance in my faith than I do having faith that God will work without me seeing it. Does that make sense, what I just said? I think I look sometimes for the material things to appear in God's working. But the Lord said, I in verse number 2, I'll go before thee. Now, let me say this. Let me give you the background. He's talking to Cyrus. Cyrus was the king. I can't remember if it was of Babylon or of Persia. Isn't that something, that he'd use a wicked-born king to do something incredible? But he's talking to Cyrus, who he had raised up to protect Israel. And even though they had been in captivity, this is taking place, Isaiah 45 is taking place around the same time that the book of Daniel is being recorded. And so they coincide, and that's where we know the name Cyrus from. So God is talking to Cyrus, and in verse number 1 I read to you that he said, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed." So not only did God raise up this king in this wicked nation, and whether it was Babylon or Persia, either one of them, they were wicked. And God raised him up and anointed him for a specific purpose, to be the king and to lead him. And then the Lord went on and said in verse number 1, "Whose right hand I have holden." So God, he has a hold of Cyrus spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, mentally. He has a hold of Cyrus, and he's not going to let anything happen to Cyrus. He's going to bring Cyrus through what he wants him to go through. And if you read the history of Israel and you read the book of Daniel, you find that there's some pretty significant things that are happening in Cyrus's life. So it's not recorded in the 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel, because those are reserved for Israel. But in the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the other major prophets, you find this King Cyrus, who God has anointed, that was not one of the Israelites, but yet he was used to preserve Israel and to care for Israel and to provide for Israel. And so God used this great leader to take care of his people. And in using that Gentile leader, God says to him, in verse number 2, I will go before thee. Now, if he made that promise to Cyrus, I'd be willing to say that he makes that promise to you and I. So even in my sense of wanting to see God move material, wanting to see something physically happen to know that God is there, nowhere in here does it say that God's going to move a mountain to let me have my faith established. He did tell us that he would have Cyrus's hand. He did tell us that he has anointed him for a purpose, and he did tell us that he would go before us. And he said, I'm going to make the crooked places straight. I think sometimes when we walk through the crooked places of our life, if I could say that like that, that it's not until we look back, and as long as we kept our eyes on the Lord, it wasn't as crooked as what we thought. God brings us through those places where we don't think we can get through. Sometimes you're walking down the road of life and, man, there's a hairpin curve and you're in a 53-foot tractor trailer, amen? And you got to make that hairpin curve and you got to get it around that corner. And if you don't, you need some outside help. You need the Lord. He said, I'll make the crooked places straight. And that's the best illustration I come up with. Y'all can do better, you can preach next week. He said, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. So he's telling us there's not going to be anything that's going to impede you. There's not going to be anything that's going to stop you from continuing on. There are going to be some gates and there's going to be some bars that are going to get in your way. But when God's going before us, God will take care of those obstacles, not you and I. I have obstacles that come up in my daily life. I have obstacles. I have a place where I believe that the Lord wants me to be. I believe each person in this room has a place where God wants you to be and a place in life that God wants you to be. And He's going to get you there. You've got to decide whether you'll trust Him and let Him go before you or whether you'll try and run ahead of Him. You'll get to that brass gate and you'll have to stop there and wait. You'll get to those bars of iron and you're going to have to maybe sit in jail for a little bit. I hope not. I don't wish any of you sat in jail. But he said, I'll cut in sunder the bars of iron. This number 3, one of these days, the Lord's going to let me preach on this. I've had this thought for years. And I will give thee, watch this, the treasures of darkness. Now you take a minute, maybe I'm getting to preach it tonight, but you think about this. In the valleys, it's dark. In the tough times, it's dark. In the difficult days, it's dark. When the storm rages, it's dark. When the sun sets and the night begins to come, it's dark. And we think, what good could come out of this dark place in my life? And then we remember that old Moses walked up into the thick darkness, watch this, where God was. And I will give thee treasures of the darkness. You may not understand exactly why it's dark, but God's got some treasures in that dark time for you and me. And He knows what to give us when we stand in need of those things in our dark time. And then He said this, and I'll give you the hidden riches of secret places. The book of Psalms tells us about a place called the secret place of the Most High. I believe that that's a place of prayer, if I can say it like that. I believe that that's a place where you're in the middle. I believe part of the treasures of darkness is learning how to pray. Learning that God is moving even in the dark, even when we don't see Him, and He's given us hidden riches of secret places. Man, there is nothing so sweet as going through a battle in your life, going through that dark place in your life, learning more about faith in God, learning how to pray, and then you get a hidden riches, or you get several hidden riches out of that secret place where you said, you know what, I'm in the dark, I might as well crawl in a corner and pray a little while. And God does some wonderful things. God does some incredible things. Everybody likes to be in the light, but it's in the dark times where God grows us and cultivates us and makes us and molds us into what He'd have us to be. And He said, He'll do these things that thou may know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So He's bringing Osiris through all these things. Now, here's what I like about the Old Testament. This is talking about Cyrus, but we can apply it to you and I. I love the Bible. I love being able to take the Bible and read about somebody else's life and then see how that God will take those principles and those lessons and let them be applied to my life and the things that I'm facing and what I'm going through, so that you'll know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. You know when it feels like God don't know your name? When you're in the darkness. You know when it feels like that God don't know where you're at? When you're in a secret place. But God knows where you're at in that secret place. God knows where you're at when you're trying to hide. God knows where you're at when you go through the dark days. God knows where you're at when you got the bars of iron around you or the gates of brass. God knows what it's like, and God knows where you're at when you're in the middle of that hairpin turn and you don't know which way is the right way to go, and you're in the Y of the road. You don't know which direction you should take. God knows. And He gives us all of these things so that when we look back over those places that we were at in life, we can say, you know what? That's God. This is my God. This is how He moved. This is what He done. I call you by name. There is not a hair of your head that God doesn't have numbered. He knows the hairs of your head, even the ones that fell out. He knows about them. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought that you have. He knows every word that we speak. And He still gives us grace and love and mercy. Amen? He said, I, the Lord, so that you will know that I've called you by name. Yeah, you're going to go through a dark place. Yes, you're going to go through crooked places. Yes, you might need to find your secret places. You can fellowship with the Most High. But the Lord knows your name, and He is the God of Israel. He's the God of all. Amen. In verse number 4, He says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So He's taking this person who did not know God. You remember that Paul said that David said in the book of Psalms that we were born into iniquity, we were conceived in iniquity, we're brought forth in sin. We know that about ourselves. Romans 5 tells us that because sin entered in through man, and so death by sin, and death is passed upon all men. We understand those things. We see those things. And then Paul told us that we are born at enmity against God. We are enemies with God from our nature, from who we are. And so even though we didn't know Him, we know Him now, thank God, but even when we didn't know Him, even when we had no clue who He was, He still, for Jacob's sake, for Israel His elect, He's protecting them. He's caring for them. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Even when we didn't know him, he knew us. Here's how Romans put it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse number 5 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. We know that Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's why that phrase so stuck with me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Because I have, even though he has called me by name, even though he's brought me through the crooked and given me treasures out of darkness and gave me a secret place, even though all of these things have happened, sometimes I look for something else than just him. And I get dissatisfied. Now, I know y'all don't do that. Get dissatisfied with the Lord. Don't y'all lie in the house of the Lord. He knows your heart. Or maybe even irritated with the Lord. Don't you see me? Don't you know my name? I'm going through this crooked place. I'm in this dark place. Don't you know who I am? I am the Lord. And there is none else. We don't have to go looking for something else. He's enough. We're not enough, but he's enough. There's no God beside me. I girded thee. You know what that means? Take your hand, stick it on your clothes, and just kind of give you clothes. God give you that. Them clothes you got on, he gave them to you. No, he didn't. My mom and daddy bought these. But okay, he gave your mom and daddy the money to get you the clothes. No, he didn't. My mom and daddy went to work. Okay, we gave your mom and daddy the ability to go to work and get the money to get you the clothes. Amen. He put breath in our bodies. I went to the mall and picked this out, or a friend of mine gave me this fancy shirt. That's the truth. Sometimes we think that we're doing it, but really it's him. He's even dressed us. He's even given us clothes to wear and shoes on our feet, and thank God for those things. And he says, again, though thou hast not known me. God is good to people who do not even know who he is. God is merciful to people who do not even acknowledge his existence. God is gracious to those who shake their fist at him and deny that he is who he is. God is still good to them. God still gives them what they stand in need of. That thou may know, verse number 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west. Now I know we're familiar with that scripture. It says from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. And the Lord's saying here that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, which side does the sun, direction does the sun rise on? And then the setting. So he's saying it again. That there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. The Lord is enough for what we're going through. I heard this, I listened, most of the time I listened to my Bible reading during the day. And when I came to that scripture in verse number 6, I thought of the 48th Psalm that says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? That's Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. But I thought about that. He is the Lord, and there is none else. He's able to make a statement like that because he is sufficient for all of our need. And he's enough for whatever we're dealing with. All right, I'm done, I think. 7:51. Y'all don't get used to this. I appreciate you being here, and I hope that this has helped you somehow. I know it sure helped me. I sure like that the Lord allowed me to have that. Brother Dorsey, will you dismiss us, please, sir, tonight?